Hi there, we really hope you enjoy this teaching from The Message. To find out more about all the exciting things we're doing and how you can get involved, check out our website, message.org.uk.
Well, it's always a joy to be with fellow laborers in the harvest field in this nation. And for those of you who don't know me, my husband Joe and I, we pastor Ramp Church Manchester, and we came from the Ramp in Hamilton, Alabama, working with young people. We had a church, you know, we're part of a ministry team there, and I know many of you have probably heard the story. But in short, we never imagined that the Ramp would have a place here in Manchester. We had our hands very full working with young people in the States. As we all know, the States needs a lot of work right now. And we were just hand to the plow and began to get these crazy prophetic words. So many prophetic words and happenings mixed with a desire in Pastor Karen's heart and willingness among all of us just to be right in the middle of anything and everything that God does. And so it was a 10-year journey, actually. And then we finally landed in Manchester about 6 years ago, and we've just been learning and getting more and more desperate for God, and that's pretty much what we've been up to while seeing God do great things. And I absolutely love getting the opportunity to meet other believers, other saints. There's such a move of God happening all over the globe, right? And I know we're so like in it, and we're in the mix of what God, you know, we're being tested, we're being tried, we're moving by faith to see a move of God. But I just want to help us, by the help of Holy Spirit, just come up to the higher picture of what we're all laboring for. And I want to talk about opposition and opportunity, but first, let's just go to the end of the book. Can we do that? Let's go to Revelation. Right? Because, I mean, I know you guys are saints here, you're laborers in the field, and if let's just be honest, the work of God, as glorious as it is to be a part of the work of God, that we are privileged to be a part of the work of God here on earth, right? I mean, hello, nobody has to be here today, right? We were on our way to hell, all of us. We were basically like convicted sinners, and now God's brought us into this privilege of not just being saved, but he has trusted us with his mission here on earth. And we don't have to do that. We don't have to follow Jesus and take lower paychecks because we're serving him. This is a privilege to be a part of his kingdom on the earth. And because of the culture that we live in, right, Western context, we're always swimming upstream against that sense of entitlement. And we can't let ourselves miss the fact that God has called us here to be a laborer in this field. And by his grace, we are here. And this is a high calling to work with him to bring his glory here among the nations. What a joy, what a privilege to serve the Lord. What a joy to serve the Lord together. And I just feel, I feel continually reminded by the Holy Spirit that, you know, there were many crowds that Jesus ministered to. And in John 6, some of those crowds, they stood up and they walked away because what he was saying was hard. And he looked then to his disciples and he said in John 6, so are you leaving too? And sometimes, you know, when I'm like moaning about the work of God, right? I mean, how many of you, I mean, let's be honest. Every now and then you have a moan, right? You're like, this is hard. This is really hard. Help me, Jesus. And sometimes I just hear the Lord just give me a smack in the face and say, Stacy, are you leaving too? And I just want to always want to have that Peter reply in me. Where else would I go? You alone have the words of eternal life. You know, following Jesus said that we would have the choice. We would have to, if we follow him, in Luke 9, in fact, I'm just going to take it way back. We're just going to go back to 101, following Jesus. He said to the crowd, if any of you wants to be my follower, you must give up your own way. And you must take up your cross daily. This daily, like, killing of the flesh. It's not like a once a year at an altar call or an occasional move of God every few decades. It's a daily denying of our flesh and living according to the Spirit. It's daily being spiritually minded, not carnally minded. and being fixed on the things of heaven if we're going to follow Jesus. And remember, to follow him means that he's in charge, right? So everybody has to lay aside their own agenda. And we have to continually lay aside that selfish ambition and that, what about me and this thing. We have this tendency as humans, we can make anything about ourselves. Am I right? Or am I just a really dysfunctional human? Or do we not all struggle with how everything can eventually end up revolving around us? Even the sacred things of God, we can become so twisted, so carnal, that even holy things can start orbiting around, well, how's it going to fulfill me? And what's in it? It's exactly what Peter said. Well, what's in it for me? We've left everything. And Jesus said, well, truly anybody who's left father and mother and field and family will receive in this lifetime and in the lifetime to come, what? All of those things plus more. But it still takes this laying aside of selfish ambition, this following of him, that we can't hang on to our life, our rights, right? Especially in Western culture, we've got rights. We've got a right to a paycheck and a right to a holiday and a right to be heard and a right to be thanked and a right to be appreciated and right. We've got so many rights. It's so funny because, you know, in some of the local schools, they do these, like, it's a rights-respecting school, which I'm all for that. I'm not dishing that. I'm not saying, you know, that people don't have rights. But I was telling my girl to do, I have three girls. So one day, I was like, this was like a new thing that their school was rolling out. I'm like, great, you know, fantastic. It's good to know about your rights. But I asked her to do something, and she just looked at me, and she was like, I have a right to play. And it just was like, it caught me, you know, the mom, the other mom, like, rises up in you. And I said, well, Jesus laid down his rights, and you're about to lay down your right, too. And we have these rights, and we think we're entitled to these things. And we sometimes serve God conditionally, right? And we come with these subconscious, unspoken conditions. And then the fire and the heat of trial starts to turn up. And these rights start rising to the top. And God wants to just purify those, scrape those right off so we can be whole and continue to go from glory to glory and strength to strength. But flesh man is like arguing and saying, well, if those rights, if you're not heard and if you're not appreciated and if you're not paid well and if you don't get all your holidays, then you're out of here. And so we just move from place to place and person to person without ever growing to full maturity. But Jesus has called us not just to do his work, but to become like him. The world around us is asking, what is God up to and what's he like? What's he doing? And tell me about him. And we are responsible for doing the work of God the way he would want us to do it, with this humility. This worship, this adoration to Jesus, not bringing our own agenda into his plan, but just a servant who can be trusted. You know what it's like to sniff somebody else's agenda, right? When you're in a relationship or a friendship and you can, you know, you're getting to know somebody and then it's like, I'm not saying be suspicious and all critical of people all the time, but you know what it's like where you can just kind of like sense, I thought we were like a team in this, but now it seems like they've got an agenda. They want something for themselves. I think about that sometimes. I'm like, Lord, I don't want to be one of those sniffy out people where you're like, you're entrusting me with stuff and you can smell my agenda and my rights starting to rise up. I don't want to hinder God. I want to be in the middle. God's will is going to be done, right? He's going to do. His purpose is going to stand. But I don't want to miss it. I want to be in the middle of it. I don't want my own immaturity and my own flesh issues that aren't dealt with to hinder me from being right up in the mix of the move of God that's happening. And we have to be so on guard because the enemy's always looking for an in, right? With a narrative, a lie that he wants us to agree with. And once we start believing and agreeing with his narrative, it affects our behavior. All our behavior flows from our beliefs. And we've got to be a people just on guard, like Jesus said. Willing to lay down everything for his glory among the nations. Let's go over to Revelation. I just want to read some of the end. Do you guys ever just go to Revelation to just pull yourself up and be like, Maranatha, come, Lord Jesus. There's a day coming. This is why we're all laboring, right? We're here laboring in preparation for the day when Jesus is coming for that pure and spotless bride, when he's coming to receive the reward of his suffering. And so it's important to be on the ground locally and stewarding all the work that God's entrusted with into our hands as his church. But for our endurance, we also have to stay grabbing hold of the eternal narrative of God. We have to be local and we have to be global. We have to be present here and now, and we also have to be eternally minded so we endure. So in Revelation 7, even thinking about all the work that you're doing for the festival, all the work you're doing in these schools, all the work that you're doing, the prayer, the fasting, the friendship evangelism, I just want to remind you, and I know you know this, I know I'm not telling you anything you don't know because you guys are sharp and you've been in this for a while, I'm sure, but I'm just here as just like, think of me as just a little sticky note from the Holy Spirit. I'm reminding you of what you already know. I'm helping you remember the bigger picture to your labor. And this is in Revelation 7. I'm going to start in verse 9. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. After this, I saw a vast crowd too great to count from every nation and tribe and people and language standing in front of the throne and before the Lamb. They were clothed in white robes and held palm branches in their hands, and they were shouting with a great roar, "Salvation comes from our Lord who sits on the throne and from the Lamb." And all the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living beings, and they fell before the throne with their faces to the ground, and they worshiped God. And they sang, "Amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and strength belong to our God forever and ever. Amen." Come on, we are laboring for the glory of God to be revealed among the nations. In the blink of an eye, we will stand before him. And we will see him as he really is. The God whom the earth and the sky, it says, flee from his presence and find no place to hide. We'll see him perfectly. Right now we see in part, know in part, prophesy in part. But in the blink of an eye, we're going to stand before this holy God who saved us, who redeemed us, who plucked us from the fire. And we're going to see him. And when we see him, we're going to only wish we would have given him more. Come on, when you see him in his glory, you're not going to stand there and think, "Oh gosh, well, I should have watched more time on Netflix. I should have had a higher paying job. I should have spent more time." You're going to see the glory of God in Christ Jesus. Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is he of your time, of your money, of your gifts and your efforts. Paul says about his work in Acts 19 or Acts 20, he says, "I have labored, I have spent my life laboring for the Lord humbly and with many tears." Worthy is the Lord for your humility and your humble work with tears. Come on, Jesus is the King of this kingdom. And we are striving that he is known among the earth, that the Lord is recognized by the nations. You know those verses in Psalm, I think it's 96, where it's just this like anthem, and you can just hear, I can just hear the psalmist just crying, just belting it out, and it says, "Recognize the Lord. Recognize that he's glorious and strong." This is why we're laboring, because there's a Savior who loves these people. But any, and I know you know this, any kingdom work is going to be opposed. And the enemy is not out there dressed in a Satan costume with an antler and little, you know, fiery torch about to, he is a deceiver. He's a divider. He's a thief. And when there's a move of God, like there is a move of God and a move of God on the brink, you have to be alert and on guard. And this is not just like some crazy camp of Christians who are hyper, super spiritual warfare. This is for every believer. It even made it in the Lord's Prayer. Deliver us from evil. Don't let us fall into temptation. Jesus said, pray that. There is, and what you guys are doing in the souls that you are seeing brought into the kingdom, and what you are about to bring, the harvest that's about to come in through Manchester Festival, I just surely you are being extra alert and not ignorant of the enemy's devices, right? Surely you're guarding your marriages, your conversations. You're aware of the Miriam syndrome, right? Miriam, Aaron, and Moses in Numbers 12. Miriam starts to get a little critical, and she says, well, does God only speak through Moses? And then she's struck with leprosy because she didn't have the fear of the Lord in her and started criticizing her leaders. This is heavyweight stuff we're doing for the kingdom of God. Come on, this isn't just a little volunteer, harmless thing you're doing. This is war. You are in a war for the souls of this nation. And how awesome that God would give us this privilege. And not just the privilege, but the power to overcome. So Paul says that he has, in 1 Corinthians 16, verse 9, and really, I'm not even going to read the verse. The two main things is he's got this great door of opportunity. He says, I've got this great door of opportunity. A wide door for effective work has opened to me, and there are many adversaries. And isn't that the story of life here on earth, doing the work of God? There is such a great door of opportunity. We're about to do this festival in Manchester, and we're going to see a huge harvest, but then there is these adversaries opposed to that, trying to divide us and offend us and get us to just kind of be like sleepy zombies, just going through the motions, but our heart's not engaged, our faith's not engaged. And the enemy would love, oh man, I can just imagine the enemy would love for you guys to do this whole festival thing in robotic mode without engaging your faith. We had Pastor Karen, who is the founder of, the Ramp, and she preached yesterday at Ramp Church, and she was talking about, you know, the woman who touched the hem of Jesus' garment, and she talked about how faith is how needs get met in the kingdom. It's through faith. Many people were crowding up and touching Jesus. But this lady said in her mind, I'm going to touch the hem of his garment. She determined in her mind, that's faith, she saw something unseen. And she touched the hem of his garment, and she was healed. And what did Jesus say to her? Your faith has made you well. And so when you're laboring in these fields, you're doing it by faith. You believe that God is pouring out his Spirit. You believe that you're a part of this great harvest. And don't let the enemy put you in some kind of sleepy mode where your faith is not plugged into the socket and you're just doing these things without the real revelation. This is a move of God you're in. Souls are coming into the kingdom. They're literally being, as Jude said, snatched from the fire because of your sacrificial obedience. Because of your yes to God. And if God is going to do what he said he would do. He's going to do what talk to him in Isaiah. God is so declaring, he's like challenging Israel. He's like, I'm the God who predicts it before it's going to happen. I'm going to bring it to pass. Nobody's going to thwart it. Don't mess with me. Don't talk to me about your idols. They can't speak. Who are they? And he says, I am who I am. I am the Lord who stretched out the heavens and the starry host and calls them all by name. And he goes on and on. He's going to do it. But he's basically saying, Israel, do you want to be a part of this or not? And I want us to just be so full of faith for a move of God in Europe. Why did we come here? Why have people from all over the world come to this city and this nation? God is moving. He's up to something. We have an invitation to be a part of a great awakening. Some of the prophetic words that brought us were, there's a great awakening coming to England. There's an army of the young that are going to rise up. It's going to change the region of Europe. This is bigger than our own little personal prophetic words, as important as those are, as much as God loves you. He loves you so enough to give you those words. This is bigger than that. It's bigger than you knowing if you're an apostle, a prophet, a teacher, a pastor, an evangelist. It's even bigger than that. It's bigger than that. It's about Jesus being revealed to the nations of the earth and them finding salvation in him. It's about principalities and powers being publicly shamed because the glory of God is revealed. This is bigger than all of us. It's going to take all of us laying down our agendas. It's going to take all of us watching and being alert to slander, to criticism, to anything that would divide or distract from the big picture that God is doing. When I was praying for you all, the other week, specifically about the festival, I was just taken to Hebrews 12. I was thinking about, Hebrews 11, all those great examples of faith, right? They all had these actions that they did. Abraham moved, and Sarah, and all these people, and Enoch, and Noah, and he built this ark, and then Jacob, and on and on and on. And it says these people, they were great people of faith. The lives they lived had actions. And it says here in Hebrews 11, I love what it says in verse 13. It says, they did not all receive what was promised, but they saw it from a distance and they welcomed it. They agreed that they were foreigners and nomads here on earth. Obviously, people who say such things are looking forward to a country they can call their own. If they had longed for the country they came from, they could have gone back. But they were looking for a better place, a heavenly homeland. And this is why God is not ashamed to be called their God. Come on, you are a people of faith. And you've got to keep your eyes fixed on that homeland, on the invisible one. You've got to lock eyes with the eternal narrative that's happening over this city. You've got to stay centered. You've got to live from that heavenly place down to the daily grind. That's how you stay alert and watchful and prayerful to guard against the strategies of the enemy. Listen, I was reading that. I love what it even says about Moses. He chose to share the oppression of God's people instead of enjoying the fleeting pleasures of sin. He thought it was better to suffer for the sake of Christ than to own the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking ahead to his great reward. It was by faith that Moses left the land of Egypt, not fearing the king's anger. He kept right on going because he kept his eyes on the one who is invisible. What do you see that you don't see? Come on, people of faith, they see something. When you're handing out flyers and you're doing friendship evangelism, when I'm handing out flyers for my church and doing all this stuff, sometimes I just say to myself, by faith, Stacy believed there would be a move of God in Europe, so she handed out flyers on Thorpe Street. By faith, Stacy believed there was a great awakening in England, so she prayed and she fasted with six people. By faith, Stacy believed God was raising up an army of the young, so she met with these five scraggly young people. By faith, what are you doing? What, by faith, what are you doing? You sure have an opportunity to do something great. It would be a true heartache and a shame for you to not see what you're doing here. And to think that this is just about you paying the bills and using your gifts because God wants you to be, used and anointed. This is bigger than that. This is the destiny of nations. This isn't about your personal prophetic words. It's not about you feeling powerful. It's not about you feeling anointed. It's bigger than that. This is about Jesus being exalted above the nations. This is not about you being heard. It's not about you feeling like you have a position or a title or that what you're doing is fruitful. It's not even about your fruitfulness. It's about his glory. And this is what's at stake. Do not miss what you are a part of. Anybody who has kids can know your kids can be in a school and totally miss the purpose of school, right? Every day you ask them, what have you learned? Nothing. They think school is primarily supposed to be fun. They don't know that school is for learning. And sure, you can have a good time and all that. Why are you here? Let's not miss the point of why we are here. We are here for a move of God. We are here for an outpouring. We are here for a billion soul harvest. We are here for an army of the young. And you know what's so glorious? In that bigger picture, we find joy. We find fulfillment. We find every personal desire fulfilled in that higher place. In that place where Jesus says, you let go of your life, you find it. But you cling to all that, you lose it. I want to close by reading a little bit of this book called Missionary Warrior. Charles Kalman, he wrote Streams in the Desert. You know, he was a missionary in China. And he talks about the difficulties of following God. He says here, let no one imagine that the only difficulties were financial. These were the least of all. Out where the fight is strong and souls are being delivered, the enemy often comes in like a mighty flood. Once, during a terrible battle with the Prince of Darkness, another missionary made the remark, what a pity on top of all these difficulties that you have to pray in the funds. But Charles felt that daily trusting for financial needs was one of his strongest blessings. He wrote once, we thank God for every black trial we have ever met, for every onslaught of the archenemy, for through these pressures we have learned to know God and have gained our greatest victories. Often we have been driven into a corner where it was go under or go through, but God caused the great waves to become ships, which launched us further on and on in things divine. May we say it for the encouragement of some struggling Christian worker. Are you listening? We have never undertaken a work under the Lord's direct guidance for the Lord, for the liberation of precious souls, that Satan has not fought us inch by inch. But in the midst of the battle, as we have gone along with God, our spirits have been hushed, and a sweet, still voice has whispered to our inmost hearts, I am on board. There is no wind wild enough, no storm fierce enough to wreck the vessel which carries the Lord of earth and sky. Sail on, sail on. I just feel the Lord saying over us, sail on. Of course the enemy's fighting you inch by inch. Of course he's making you frustrated and wrestling with offense and fatigue and exhaustion, and maybe you're even wrestling with doubt. Is God even real? Of course the enemy is trying to get in your head. That's the only way he can get you, is get in your head. But God has given you overwhelming victory. So let's stand and let's just close in prayer for this victory that we're about to see. Oh, thank you, Jesus. And the band can come on up. And I just want to close with a prayer. I want you guys just to lift your hands right now, just as a sign that you are open to the Lord. Thank you, God, for the privilege of serving you. Right now, Holy Spirit, we just repent for entitlement, Lord, for grumbling, complaining, Lord, any of that. I'm not saying that's even going on in here. Maybe it's just me repenting. But Lord, I ask for just a fresh wave of wonder to fill our hearts. A fresh wave of revelation for us to see this divine storyline that we've been called to be a part of. This epic victory that we've been called to fight in. We say yes to that, Jesus. And we give you praise and glory. Oh, we thank you. Just start to thank him in advance for every soul. Every soul, Lord, goes to your account. The credit goes to your account, Lord. It goes to your account, Jesus. And we say, worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb to receive the reward of his suffering. Holy is the Lord, high and holy. Yet here he is dwelling with us, dwelling with the lowly, dwelling with the broken, dwelling with the repentant. We exalt you, Jesus. We thank you for your faithfulness. And I just want you to put your hand on your belly. and just say, Holy Spirit, just activate my faith. Faith rise up in this room. Faith rise up in this room. Come on, faith to see into the invisible realm. Faith, eyes of faith. You live by faith. You walk by faith. You labor in faith. You have a faith and a confidence in God. There your anchor is. A faith that it's all worth it. Every sacrifice worth it. Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb. We say, come, Lord Jesus. The Spirit and the Bride say, come. The Spirit and the Bride say, come. Come to this nation. Come, Lord. Come. Come with waves of repentance. Come with waves of conviction. Come with eyes being opened and ears being opened and hearts that were hard, tender like flesh. Come in a move. Come in an outpouring. Come in an uprising, Lord. We are hungry for you to do what only you can do, Jesus. We are hungry for you to get all the glory for it. We are hungry for you to be exalted and man humbled. We are hungry for you to be adored and worshiped and all the idols of the land to fall like Dagon in your presence. We are hungry for this, Jesus. Desire of the nations. We look to you and we give our all for you, Lord. This is reasonable. Everything, our finances, our effort, our tears. It's all for you, God, and you alone are worthy. You are worthy. And I just pray for an opening of eyes just to see the glory of God. Little glimpses. Come on, that's what every encounter is. It's a glimpse of glory. It's a glimpse of glory. Lord, release encounters through all these efforts. Release encounters, Jesus. Encounters in your glory. Glimpses of your presence, God. Glimpses of your face. You alone, Lord, can change a nation. You alone can bring hard hearts soft as flesh. And we put our confidence in you, God. We put all our eggs in that basket that God is faithful and true. He doesn't lie and he always comes through. We put all our hope there, Lord, and we're revived by your word. Thank you, Jesus.
Don't forget to check out message.org.uk to find out how you can support our work or even get involved with one of our teams. We also have another podcast called The Flow Podcast, where we share stories and testimonies of the amazing things that God's doing in people's lives. Search for The Flow Podcast on iTunes or Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks for listening.